Welcome back, friends. Okay, so we set up a little, you know, we had a very brief review of Brother Lawrence and his great work. Oh, it's still on my desk. Might as well wave it. The Practice of the Presence of God, the critical edition. So it's still on my desk. Okay, who is Dom Zeller? His father was in military service stationed in Alexandria, Egypt. While the country, Egypt, was a British protectorate. He was born in 1905. He was privately educated until 9. From 9 years to 18 years, he was sent abroad to the Benedictine Abbey at Downside, England. Here's a quote from The Guardian, 2017. The Benedictine order was one of the biggest in Britain before the Reformation, and the dissolution of the monasteries by King Henry VIII from 1536 onwards. After they returned to England in the 19th century, and the English Benedictine congregation was refounded, the monks' focus turned to parish work and founding schools. The English Benedictines have had a history since then of educating the children of England's most influential and wealthiest Catholic families. So his father, you know, interested in having his son well educated, as many did, sent him here to Downside. After graduating, he had a gap year, that's what we call it. He worked for a year at a Liverpool cotton firm. Then in 1924, he entered the novitiate of the Benedictines. He struggled with his vocation, leaving briefly in the 1930s for a stricter Carthusian monastery at Park Minster. He returned to the Benedictine monastery, and he devoted his time to retreats and writing on spiritual matters. He also was a talented sculptor, and to be, in my opinion, a good sculptor, you need an eye for detail. I think to be a good artist, you need an eye for detail. He was a friend of Oxford-educated Ronald Knox and Evelyn Waugh. He died in 1984. I'll give you the thesis statement. This thesis statement for the corpus of his writing. Zeller described his own writing about the faith as an effort to use the idiom of every day to urge people of every day to embark upon the spirituality of every day. So I'll stop there, and we'll talk a little bit about this particular edition.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, read that he has. so far away from where we are now in terms of education, you know, the thought that you would have an excellent Benedictine order to which you could send your children for an excellent education in the faith. It just seems like that's gone.
I think it is. I know a school right here in our boundaries has just closed. And
you have an order of monks that would teach your children. You know, we have lost so much. And that tends back to what we were saying in the last little talk, that it behooves mothers to rediscover this home life of interior spirituality so that we can go back and kind of reconquer these institutions. Because anybody with an eye, with a critical eye, or with an eye for detail, as you're saying, can really note the fact that there is an absolute dearth of authentic Catholic presence within the world. The Catholic Church has, you know, left education. The Catholic Church has left police forces. The Catholic Church has left nursing. The Catholic Church has left hospitals, all of these great institutions, which are fundamental to the sound founding of a healthy civil society, the church has really abdicated her positions in so many of these places. So where do we begin again then? Well, the only place that you can begin again is in the heart of our homes. And the only way that we can do that is if we have sound instruction on how to make our homes really fortresses of spirituality.
Yes, yes. And maybe it's, we have just a little time. There was that statement where, you know, the patrimony, right? That spiritual patrimony is just, has been so used up.
Yes,
so that amazing. Even if you had not had a formation, so that's the point. Thank you. So if you live in a culture where most, you know, are a goodly number, I don't even know even if you need majority, but if you have a goodly number of people who have an understanding of truths of things, then those who do not really can reap the benefit from the life, the witness, the conversation, all of that. But when it is so impoverished, that ability for those who are weak, who are more susceptible or weaker in some fashion, the guardrails not being there, no rich culture to support, and those people are really, really in a tough way. I mean, I had a son. He just told me, you know, another high school girl, if you know, going to a Catholic school, if you will, committed suicide. So, I mean, and maybe the most shocking thing of this, I'm not shocked anymore.
Tragic.
This should be shocking. Here's.
Right. It is. It's very, and, but the upside is, and I think that it was John Paul II or maybe Benedict the 16th, who really spoke about the true power of the creative minority in bringing about a revival, you know. So
yes,
and that's really what we have to be. I mean it seems unfortunate, but our Lord never works with Goliath, right? He always works with David. And so those of us who are in the home doing small things, or seemingly small things, seemingly insignificant things, have to have absolute faith and confidence that what we are doing is not trivial. It may seem small, but in the grand scheme, all of those things which the world accuses us of trivialities are, if they wouldn't complain about them if they weren't important. They wouldn't try so hard to destroy them if they didn't matter. And we can see that, you know, that that motherhood has been under severe, constant, well, really a deck since the Blessed Mother. I mean, always, right? I mean, Satan hates mothers.
That's exactly right. Satan hates mothers. All right, friends. Maybe in the next episode, we'll get to the publication and just some thoughts I have. Till then, my friends, fides et ratio.